Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Thursday, May 25th. This is the fourth of our four-part episode on the assigned lectionary texts for the sixth Sunday of Easter, which was this past Sunday, May 21st, 2017. And you might notice that this is Thursday, not Wednesday, which is when I normally try to get the fourth episode, part of the episode up. And yesterday, unfortunately, I had a migraine, a horrible, awful migraine that just wiped me out for the entire day. And I seriously just wanted to claw my way out of my own skull. If there was a way I could have figured out how to do that, I would have. It was awful. So there was absolutely no way I could have done an episode yesterday. I couldn't really do much of anything yesterday, unfortunately. And it's still there today. It's lingering, as migraines tend to do. Thankfully, it's only lingering and isn't rearing its ugly head like it did yesterday. So I'm grateful for that. And it was hard yesterday to see signs of resurrection, to see signs of new life as I was lying in pain and trying everything I could think of. You know, I have all sorts of methods that I use for migraines when they come. I've got prescription medicine from the doctor. And when that doesn't work, even when that works, I still use it in combination with ice on the back of my neck or the little massage things that we have that massage my neck and shoulders, caffeine, vitamin water, all of those things, you know, that you try to do, sleep, dark room, all those things. And it just, nothing was working. And it was, as I said, really hard to see signs of new life or resurrection as I have been seeking to do until my husband went to run an errand. He actually went to get me some more vitamin water, which was really sweet of him. And he brought me chocolate. Wasn't that nice? Oh, hey, no, that right there I should have brought up as my resurrection moment, my new life moment. My husband brought me chocolate. It was so nice. It was really lovely. Chocolate and vitamin water don't really go together, but I didn't consume them at the same time. Anyway, while he was gone, I had brought the dogs into the bedroom with me. We have two chihuahuas. They're brother and sister. They're 3 years old, and they're tiny, and they love to be in the bedroom. And so I brought them into the bed with me so that they could snuggle and I could just take some comfort from their warm little furry chihuahua bodies. And I was laughing because, you know, I'm lying there trying not to move, trying not to concentrate on the pain, just trying to breathe through the pain. And I wasn't really thinking about it. And I was scratching Tallulah's head. That's our girl dog. Our dogs are Tallulah and Chalupa. Tallulah and Chalupa Chihuahua. Try saying that 10 times fast. So I was lying there and I was just sort of scratching her head. And then I stopped. I didn't even realize I was really doing it. And she started headbutting my hand, because that's what she does. She would pretty much be content if we would just scratch her 24/7. I think that she feels like that's her place in life, that she should just get scratches all the time. And so she started headbutting my hand. And it was just a really, you know, it's something that happens 10 times a day. When you stop scratching her, she demands attention. But it made me smile. Even in the midst of all of that, it made me smile. So between that and my husband bringing me chocolate, it might not seem like a great, impressive sign of resurrection or a sign of new life, but wherever you can find hope, I say that is a sign of resurrection. And I often see God in the people around me, or sometimes in the persistent little puppy who insists that I give her love. And, you know, we are kind of like that with God sometimes, I think, right? God gives us attention, and or then when we don't think God's paying attention, then we are persistent through our prayer, or we should be, and we get God's attention again. So I see God in little moments like that. I see God in my husband's love that he thought to get me chocolate when he went out to get me some vitamin water. So It's my resurrection story. And before we get to today's text, I also want to talk about something else that has been on my mind. And when things pop into my head a lot, that you know, over and over, I usually feel like they're trying to tell me something. And I'm not fully sure what this one is trying to tell me, but I thought I'd walk through it with you a little bit and just, you know, see where it takes us. And the thought that keeps popping into my head lately is that there is a fine line between faith and denial. Or there's a fine line maybe between hope and denial. And let me back up a little bit so I can explain that a little more. My husband and I have been married for almost 5 years, and we've been together 7. And it seems like since we've been married, our life has just been this crazy roller coaster. There have been some really wonderful things, and we've grown closer, and we've gotten our relationship has gotten stronger as we have lived together and worked through things. But it's also been, it's like a comedy of errors, or maybe it's a tragedy of errors. It's like if I told you all of the crazy things that have happened, you probably would think that I was making things up. It's just that number of weird, strange, odd, bad things can't happen to one set of people. And nothing like ginormously, hugely horrible, you know, like our parents, thank goodness, are still alive. We didn't lose our home or anything, you know, things like of that nature. But just everyday things that have made life a great struggle for us. And like I said, you wouldn't necessarily believe me if I told you all of them. And it's too much to tell in a half an hour podcast. I would take up the entire half an hour plus the next week or so. But anyway, what I've been thinking of is that we kind of are on this roller coaster that goes from hope to despair. You know, we get this moment of hope and we're like, oh my gosh, things are turning around. And then whoosh, we're plunged into despair where things feel like they're just falling apart. Maybe you've had those experiences as well. And it's really hard to focus on that hope when you're up there at the top of the roller coaster, because there's always this sinking feeling that, you know, you're going to get plunged right back down into despair. So sometimes it's hard for that hope. And yet I have, especially lately, I've been having a lot more hope than I had before. And I'm still figuring out why that is. But I feel so much more hopeful moving forward than I have in a long time. And why I say what I said at the beginning was of hope and a fine line between hope and denial, or faith and denial, is that sometimes when things are really terrible and really when we're struggling, I sometimes don't want to dwell on the struggle. I don't want to think about it a lot. And my husband, we're both thinkers, but he is the man with the plan. I think I've mentioned that before, and he can come up with backup plan after backup plan, which is amazing. I tend to spend a lot more time in my own head kind of stewing sometimes. I can come up with the plan as well, but sometimes I stew a little bit more than I should because I'm an internal processor. And so I need to remind myself that I don't have to solve everything in my own head. I need to talk to other people. And so I spend a lot of time in my head. He spends a lot of time planning. But sometimes I just don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to go over the new backup plan or the new thing, the new strategy that we've put in place to move into this next phase of our life. I just don't want to think about it. So that's definitely denial. I understand that. I know that sometimes I just want to be in denial about things. Don't want to think about the yuck. But this new feeling of hope, when I said I feel like there's a fine line sometimes between faith and denial or hope and denial, I sometimes wonder, am I deluding myself? Am I really in this place of denial? Or is it truly this feeling of hope that everything's going to be all right? Is it truly this feeling of faith that, of course, God is with us? And even in the denial, even in the despair, I know that God is with us. Sometimes that's harder to feel than others, right? Sometimes it's harder to believe than others. But I've got this feeling of almost buoyancy of hope. And I just feel like things are going to turn around. And they're not turning around yet. They're a little, you know, timing is never what I want it to be. I'm not ever patient with the timing of the world. I'm not patient with God's timing a lot. But I have this feeling of hope. And so maybe that's really my Easter season resurrection feeling, not just for the day, but that's my sighting of resurrection for the entire season, because I have been feeling more hopeful. And I don't think it's because I'm in denial and not just refusing to look at the bad things that have been happening. Because, you know, the crazy things have still been happening, the despair has still been rearing its ugly head. But those moments of hope feel truer lately. Those moments of hope feel more deeply rooted in God's love, in God's promises, in God's word. And so, because I've been thinking about this so much, because that phrase, fine line between hope and denial, or faith and denial, has been popping into my head, I just wanted to share that with you. Maybe you've had similar experiences. Maybe you think I'm full of hooey. I don't know. But, you know, I'd love to hear from you if you have thoughts on this first segment. And I know it's a little bit of a departure from how I normally do the podcast, but I'm going to stop there with that line of thinking. I'm going to go to our first break, and when we come back, I'll be reading the assigned gospel text for this week, and that is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. So stay tuned, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are now going to look at the text that is assigned, the gospel text that is assigned for the sixth Sunday of Easter, and that comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21, and those verses are as follows. If you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. So again, that's the gospel text assigned for this week, the sixth Sunday of Easter. It is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. And if you joined me last week for the fourth part of that episode, that was also from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And this is Jesus on the eve of his arrest and his crucifixion, his death and crucifixion and death. And this is part of what is known in the Gospel of John as the farewell discourse, where Jesus is spending this time preparing his disciples for what is to come, preparing them for his imminent death and the fact that he will soon be leaving them. And you remember that when we talked about this during Holy Week, there was a lot of conversation about just Jesus trying to do his best to prepare the disciples as best he possibly could. And of course, the disciples still weren't ready. But in this section, we see Jesus taking it one step further. Last week, he was talking about going to prepare a place for them. And the disciples were a little bit confused about that. They weren't sure what Jesus meant by going to prepare a place for them. They weren't sure. You know, he said, you know the way. And they said, well, we don't know. We've never been there, so we don't know the way. And so now Jesus is getting into this description of how Jesus and God are the same. And if you've seen Jesus, then you've seen God, etc. And that's continuing here. We left off in verse 14 last week and immediately picked up with verse 15 this week. And so he says, in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. So he's saying that he's again telling them that he will not leave me. He will not leave them. They have seen him, so they understand. And he says, they who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love them and reveal them myself to them. So it's this whole sort of cyclical thing that Jesus is saying. So you love me, so God, you know, because of that, then you have this reciprocal relationship with God where you love God. Also, God loves you. I love God. I love you. It's all kind of intertwined and interrelated in there, right? But what is great about these verses is that Jesus goes one step further. He tells them he's going to prepare a place for them, but he also says that they won't be left alone. They will have the Holy Spirit, and Jesus refers to the Spirit as an advocate, and the advocate or Holy Spirit will be with us forever. He says, I will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. And this is kind of a foreshadowing of Pentecost when they receive the Holy Spirit. But the world doesn't know, he's saying the world doesn't know the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't know this advocate because they don't fully know Jesus yet, right? That's what the disciples have to do after Jesus' death and resurrection, is that they have to go out into the world and continue doing this work that Jesus began. They have to tell people about Jesus. And that is their job. And I actually spoke with someone this week that said something I thought was a little odd. And I understand where he's coming from, but it just struck me as very strange. He said, it's my job to make Jesus famous. And I thought, I think the disciples already did that, right? I know what he means. He was saying that it's his job to bring people into relationship with Jesus, to talk about his own experience with Jesus, to let people see what it's like to be in relationship with Jesus so that they might also have a relationship with Jesus. The word famous kind of it struck me as odd because even people who don't believe know who Jesus is, right? And Jesus was not necessarily famous in his own time. He had a certain standing in the area in which he preached and people knew him there, but he wasn't famous per se. But his disciples started the church, and that church grew and grew and grew exponentially, right? And that's what made Jesus famous. So it was kind of one of those things that just made me go, whoa, that I've never heard that before. Maybe you've heard that before. Maybe that's a phrase that's common in your world. It's not in mine. I was just like, oh, wow, interesting. So I didn't even actually know what to say. I just said, oh, in the conversation. So I found that, I keep saying interesting, but at any rate, back to the text, Jesus says that he's sending the Spirit, and he does. He sends them the Spirit on Pentecost, and the Spirit helps them to go out and do the work. You know, he says that I will send you the Spirit, and you will be able to preach in my name and heal in my name, and whatever you ask for in my name, it will be given to you. And so the Spirit is sent, and then the disciples are able to go out. They are able to speak in other languages on Pentecost so that the people who are gathered there can understand when they tell their story of experiencing Jesus. And then that story begins to spread. The church begins to spread. And then as it spreads, people begin to know Jesus, and they begin to know the Holy Spirit, right? So he says that the world neither sees the Spirit nor knows him. Well, of course, because they haven't been told this story of Jesus. So it's just a really interesting thing that I don't think the disciples probably would have understood what Jesus was talking about, because I don't think they understood most of what he was talking about in his farewell discourse. And I can't blame them. I'm not sure I would have either. I have, you know, we've had 2,000 years to look at these words and think on them and study on them. And, you know, thousands, millions, trillions of words have been written about them. And so we really, really have the benefit of hindsight. So we understand what Jesus is trying to tell them, what is going to happen after his death, how they won't be left alone, how they will be given the Holy Spirit, how that Holy Spirit is going to impact them and going to impact the world and bring the good news of Jesus' life, death, resurrection, etc. to the world. So that's what I see when I read these when I read these verses that were assigned for today. So not sure what you heard in that, if you've heard these verses before, if anything struck you as interesting or new or confusing or, you know, whatever. But it's just this reminder. It starts out with keeping the commandments, and, you know, verse 15 says, "You will keep my commandments." Verse 21 says, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me." So it's a reminder that we've been given commandments, not a checklist, but a way of living in relationship with each other and with God. And people who keep those commandments, people who strive to live in relationship with God as well as in relationship with their neighbor, are showing God's love, are showing Christ's love, showing that they love Jesus, right? And where, what did he say? He said, "They will know we are Christians." He didn't say that. They will know you are my followers because of the love that you show to each other. We, of course, have changed it to, "They will know we are Christians by our love." So when we keep the commandments, when we learn to live with each other and with God in relationship, showing each other the love that has first been shown to us by Christ, that means, you know, that is just doing God's work, doing Christ's work, loving Christ in the world by loving our brothers and sisters. So we are going to look a little bit of commentary for this week's text, but we are going to take our second break of the podcast. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch, whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. We are talking about the gospel assigned for the sixth Sunday of Easter, the gospel from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. And the commentary to look at comes from Samuel Cruz, who is the assistant professor of church and society, Union Theological Seminary in the city of New York. And what I appreciate about this commentary is that he is giving us he's giving us a little more context for the book of the Gospel of John as a whole, because he says, "For many years, tradition and biblical studies held that the Gospel of John was understood to be the quote-unquote spiritual gospel." And he says this generally meant two things. One, it did not provide historical content, for example, not much historical value, and was simply ahistorical/spiritual in nature rather than being contextually relevant. And you can kind of see where people would get this idea, because it is very different from the other three, or the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Right? There's a lot more imagery. There's a lot more metaphor in John's gospel. There is less of that very straightforward sort of narrative telling Jesus's life story from birth to death, etc. You get a lot more of what, you know, we would say is the spiritual nature, the I am statements, for instance. And so some people tended to ignore John's gospel in favor of the more historical gospels, meaning the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the implication, he says, was that the esoteric ideas of John were not very useful in addressing then present day challenges. He says, interestingly, for other people, John's gospel became a favorite. He says, because it offered eternal truths that fortified traditional theological tenets. So two different ways of seeing John's gospel as more spiritual than historical, and two different ways of reacting to that. So he says these initial views of Johannine literature and the scholarship of the gospel began to take a shift in thought. It began to view John's gospel as a literary genre intended not for historical purposes, but perhaps intended to be purposefully ideological and contextual, for example, responding to very specific needs. He says, although the synoptic gospels all do this, John's gospel engages in contextualizing to a much greater degree. So what does he mean by this? Let's see. Let's find out a little more. He says, in other words, we can assume that the redactor of the Gospel of John did a more extensive rereading of the Jesus story so that he or she could respond to his or her contextual reality. He says, I would therefore suggest to those who are studying the book of John, whether you're studying it or whether you're preaching on it, etc., that this provides an opportunity for creativity within the way we study it, for within the way we talk about it, in contextualizing these verses in John so that the people we are studying with, or even ourselves, or if you're preaching for a congregation, so you can contextualize them within your own context. He says, this literature from the Gospel of John gives us an opportunity to be creative and interpret Jesus' story for the 21st century. He says, this allows the gospel to be more relevant to us in our daily lives. And do you ever think about that? How do you think about the gospels or the Bible in general being relevant to your daily lives? Do you find it to be relevant to your daily lives? One thing that I am amazed in the Bible, what amazed about the Bible is that it continues to speak to us. This is a document that is thousands of years old. You know, the Old Testament, even older, of course, than the New Testament, so thousands of years old. And yet, even today, it still speaks to us. I still read things and think, oh my gosh, that makes so much sense. That makes perfect sense. And of course, it is divinely inspired. So it is giving us ways of understanding God and the world around us in these ways. But it still amazes me that it is still speaking to us today. And so how do we let it speak to us now in the 21st century? How do we take Jesus's words and let them speak to us? So this gospel passage, going back to the commentary, he says, speaks to a very human reality, the fear we feel when we lose a loved one who played an important role in our lives. Those of us who have had such experiences know that we can become shaken and concerned about the future. It's easy to think, how should I proceed when a strong personality in my family passes on? And of course, now we know what's going on here. We know this is Jesus' farewell discourse. You have to wonder how the disciples even think they were going to go on after losing such an amazing influence and person in their lives. And yet this is what Jesus is trying to do. So he says, I can imagine the disciples probably ask themselves questions such as, how can we keep the commandments, our faith, and continue our struggle without the guidance of Jesus? How can we continue to do these things when the most important person in our lives is no longer with us? This is a question that we, of course, can ask ourselves every day. How do we continue doing this? Because we have never had Jesus physically embodied in our lives, right? We don't have the luxury that the disciples have. We don't even have the luxury that Saul had before he became Paul, where he had that experience of the risen Christ. And yet we're not alone. That is what this text is telling us. Jesus is saying, I am sending you an advocate. I am sending you this other part of this triune God so that you will not be alone. I might not physically be with you, but I and God will still be with you with this presence, with this advocate, this Holy Spirit. The limitations, he says, of the embodiment of Jesus are no longer an impediment because the Holy Spirit is being sent. So we no longer need to have Jesus physically and tangibly in our lives the way he was for the disciples, because we have been given this amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. So this actually goes back to what I was talking about in the first segment, right? That idea of hope, that idea of despair. Where is that line between hope and denial? Well, what I try to think of when I'm in those spaces, when I am feeling the hope or when I'm feeling the despair, either one, is that God is with me no matter what. God has sent the Holy Spirit to help me through these times. God has sent me first Jesus, then the Holy Spirit, which are two seriously amazing gifts. God wants us to know that we are loved, that we are beloved children of God, as I end every podcast with, reminding you that you are that beloved child of God. And so God doesn't leave us alone. God doesn't abandon us ever. Even when it feels like maybe God has, God does not abandon us. Jesus does not abandon us. Even when he had to leave his disciples, he did his very, very best to leave them with words of hope and comfort. And even more than that, to leave them with something that would be even more helpful to them in his absence, by sending the Holy Spirit, giving them that gift, giving them that means to go out and continue to do his work in the world. So that is where I leave you today, thinking about the Holy Spirit. Kind of goes in with that, you know, looking for where we see resurrection, hope, new life, etc. Where do you see the Holy Spirit at work in your life? How do you feel the Holy Spirit at work in your life? How do you recognize the Holy Spirit at work in your life? And you know what I'm going to say, right? Do you know what it is? You can give me your answers to all of these questions or your thoughts on social media. So you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr. You can interact with me probably easiest on Facebook and Twitter, but there are other ways, of course. Please come find me. Please come tell me what you think. Give me your thoughts. Give me your concerns, whatever it is. GSMC Bible Study. Sometimes you can find me on those social media sites, GSMC Bible Study. You can also find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com, and you can download those podcasts on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, anywhere, any apps that you use for your mobile device, you can find us. So thank you for joining me. I hope you will join me again on Sunday when we move to the next round of texts, and we will be looking at the text, of course, the first text, and that is from the book of Acts. And let me get you those exact verses. Sorry, my computer's running a little slow. Acts 1, verses 6 through 14, which is interesting because now we've gone all the way back to the first book of Acts, right? We've been moving steadily forward, except for that week where, never mind. We've been moving steadily forward, and now we're back to Acts 1. So join me on Sunday when we talk about that. And in the meantime, I hope that you will always, always remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.